Blog Talk Radio.
There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man, a lot of fun.
Which direction we are going?
Narek El Camino. It would have been DWI.
Have reached a tipping point.
Good evening, and welcome to the tipping point. Man, it's going to be a good one tonight. Larry has come through in fine style and has two great guests, controversial subjects, great up-and-coming wrestlers, and a whole lot more going to happen tonight. Larry, guess where I am as we speak, as I open the show?
I have no idea, but there's no background noise, so I have no clue.
So, I am in a pool. only because the hot tub is being used, and I said, what's the most pretentious thing I could do right now? And I'm like, I'm going to be in a pool. I even took a selfie as the music strains were opening. So I'm going to put that up on Facebook so people can see what a pretentious ass I am, that I would take a selfie of myself in a pool.
Wonderful.
In Clearwater, Florida, where the weather is
Wonderful. Absolutely
gorgeous. It's maybe even a little too hot, honestly, but it's gorgeous over here. And how's it going over there, Larry?
Kind of a so-so day weather-wise day here. But the thing that I must do at the top is a shout-out
for
my mom. This is her 88th birthday. Her 88th birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, my God. Our moms are almost the same age, Larry. That's pretty wild.
Is that right? Yeah, it is.
Pretty wild. Yeah. So, well, happy birthday to Larry's mother. You done good. Larry is indeed a good man, and she did a fine job raising you, and you're a very good son. I mean, a lot of people don't know that about Larry necessarily, but constantly checking in on his mom, visiting. He is a good boy.
He's a really good guy. That there's people who dispute that, but I'll take it tonight. I think she would take it tonight. So that's all right.
So who are our guests tonight, Larry?
Over the world of pro wrestling. In national news, WWE has their quarterly stock report. Their quarterly financial report will be this Thursday after the bell. And
Boy.
I would say expectations are low. This stock is now heading back down towards where it was at the worst of the pandemic. It's down to $37.50. Of course, we all remember that last year it was a $90 stock, and even at the start of this year it was a $60-some stock. And I guess the story is no longer being bought on Wall Street. It would not appear. Your thoughts?
Forgive my ignorance, but I mean, the money that they're getting, the majority of it at least, is guaranteed money, right? And is it that expenses have gone up slightly? I mean, I don't know what it costs to rent Thunderdome. I know what it costs to rent the Amway Center that they're doing. Is it that they feel like they're not getting a good return on the money? I just can't fathom. I mean, to me, it seems like they're controlling the cost as much as they can. Ratings are garbage, but we're told repeatedly that ratings don't matter. So,
I think what would you attribute that to?
Yeah.
I think that Wall Street is now on to the fact that ratings do matter. And, you know, how valuable is this property going to be when these contracts come due? They're looking down the road. They're not, because you know, last quarter they made tons, and I mean, they had their most profitable ever, and you know, it didn't work as far as the stock goes. It didn't work at all. So I think that's
well,
good.
Well, I think a couple of things have been revealed, and I think they've tipped their hand on a couple of things. One of them is, I think the overall vibe is USA is going to sign regardless because they need them. But
yes.
They need to appease Fox, who's the new master for them. And
yeah.
The moves that they've made haven't moved the radar for Raw. The ratings are still atrocious. The shows are still deemed sort of critical failures. There's two people I use as my measuring stick for how's Raw doing besides my own opinion. And one of them is an incredibly positive guy, right, named Simon. And whenever Simon is like, that's a thumbs down on that Raw, it's unbelievable. Because that guy is so, he's pretended to like retribution up to now, right? So he's a soft touch, and even he's just like,
I'll say.
I thought that they would shuffle this thing around. I thought it would get better. And he goes like, the show is bad. And SmackDown, who's really who they've made all these moves for, right? Moving every
yeah.
major angle onto there. I don't know if it's moved the needle there either. It's just, it's a rough time for the WWE. And then the other thing they tipped their hand on is it was a rumor that I had read. So I followed up with people that I knew. This is a juicy Tipping Point exclusive, Larry. So there was a rumor floating around that Vince McMahon has sort of given up in some way, shape, or form on NXT. But not in the way that most people would want. Not in the way most people would want where, you know, oh, good, Vince McMahon will have nothing to do with NXT. But just in the sense of they're losing to AEW and they don't show signs of expanding or growing. And he still has input on the show, but he's lost faith in the show. And when I asked people I knew who worked there, under anonymity, of course, they kind of back that up. That there's this feeling around NXT. Not that morale is super low, but there is this feeling that they are they are sort of the redheaded stepchild. And that resources are no longer going to be allocated, not meaning money stuff, but little signs like last year to give NXT a boost, they had them be a huge part of Survivor Series, for example. And apparently there is nothing in the works for having NXT involved in Survivor Series this time. Last time they let NXT kick the shit out of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Right? At least, and this year they're not even going to be a part of it. And that seems to just be a thing of like, you know what? We've got other things to worry about. So there's the idea is they can't keep all the balls in the air, and so NXT is going to get sacrificed a little bit.
Mm.
So, interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Moving on to more local things. Oh,
yeah.
Before I move on to more local things, hey, only. You only got to cover 15 matches tonight on AEW Dark.
Jumping Jesus. Yeah, I counted. The way I know how many matches they're going to do is this same place puts up, and it's really great that AEW does this. Let me just emphasize how awesome this is from a perspective of somebody who reviews their shows. They put up, you know, different matchups. They get the pictures of the guys and they do the little graphic for every one of the matches. So I just literally count the pictures. I don't go to any site. I just like count the pictures when they show up on the AEW Facebook thing. And I just went, I know it's bad when I lose count. I'm like, was that 14 or was that 15? I'm just like, Jesus, there's so many matches. But 15 matches, a couple of them seem competitive. I'm curious of what's going to happen on Dynamite because the Abaddon match against Tay Conti, apparently they're pulling that thing all together because Abaddon got hurt very severely during that match.
Oh.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes to this thing of that's been happening in wrestling in general, but let's be fair, specifically to AEW, which is a lot of injuries.
Well, when are they going to? I'm glad you brought that up because when are they going to stop doing these, you know, high risk stuff on shows that seems so unnecessary? I agree.
But I think it's a bigger problem than that, Larry. Because, I mean, there's no way Abaddon and Tay Conti did anything crazy, right?
Yeah.
They're not flipping
right.
around. It just comes down to there's kind of a level of it's one of the things that's great about AEW. There's a sense of urgency on that show that there isn't on WWE.
Agreed.
But there's also a level of frantic energy, which more often than not, sometimes it pays off in this great way. Like the frantic energy of like the parking lot brawl, the way that thing felt very spontaneous,
yes.
even though it was controlled.
Yes.
But there was this, there were elements of like, can't have known that that spot was going to work. Right. Until they did it, which like, you know, when they did the sentons on top of the car roof or on the
yes.
car hood, I went, you know, there's a lot of ways that could have gone wrong and they're lucky it didn't go wrong. Right. And so there's a kind of a danger to that. But then the flip is that frantic energy has often led to bad choices of spots, because the things that the guys have gotten the most serious injuries on have been stuff that was infinitely preventable, because it's usually
yes.
just the selection of what they did. It's, you know, it's picking up Nyla Rose and throwing her on Britt Baker. Like, there's no reason for that spot to exist, but you could tell they felt pressed to do something bigger, and they've got to fight that urge. I mean, an Abaddon match should be, she takes 10 minutes to crawl to the ring, and the match is 2 minutes. Like, that should be an Abaddon match, right? But I guarantee you they did too much. And Abaddon, I'll just say it bluntly, she's not that good, right? She's, I mean, she's a consummate PCW wrestler where I would just cover her with booking like a blanket, right? Like, she would never leave her feet. She would never blah. She would spend more time roaring and drooling blood than she would doing a hammerlock. And AEW, man, they just, again, what's the thing I always say? Adult in the room. They need one.
Yeah.
Desperately.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else did you want to talk about?
Well, you know, we this thing's been, you know, we've had several controversial things here in the Georgia and Alabama area in recent weeks. We're going to
yes,
talk
sir.
About one of them tonight with Sean Ambrose about what either did or did not take place at the KLT show over the weekend in Rome. But there was something that went down at Lariato with Trevor Eon that he didn't talk about publicly. They didn't talk about publicly, but Eric Silva, who's close to Trevor Eon, did talk about it, that evidently he got in trouble over there for making some sort of political posts, supposedly, and
yeah.
got so you did you got this part of the story.
I did cover that on I did cover that a bit on here's the story as I understood it, and then please fill in the details that Eric
okay.
Silva adds.
Okay.
So here's the story as I understand it. So Trevor Eon was responded to a message that somebody who is Luke Gallows' kind of right hand man there. He's the father of one of the wrestlers. I can't remember the last name. And he was just like, oh, they're terrorists. Black Lives Matter, they're terrorists. Antifa, blah, blah, blah. And then Trevor Eon defended Black Lives Matter, going like, they're not terrorists. They're not this, they're not that. But then ended it calling him a jackass. And so that prompted him to go to Luke Gallows and squeal on Trevor Eon. So they informed Laser, who's the booker there, and I made a joke that a lot of people commented on, which was like, oh, Laser's the booker. That's why he's on all the posters, right? So apparently Laser only found out at the last moment. So Trevor Eon showed up for the show thinking he was booked and everything was gravy, and then Laser had to inform him that indeed he was unbooked. So that was the story as I got it from multiple sources.
So then evidently what I understand took place after that is that it was alleged that Trevor was intimidating fans at the show. And that had something to do with him being unbooked. But then word got back to one of their major sponsors about this situation. And the end result was the person in question who made the Black Lives Matter, anti-Black Lives Matter post, who manages under the name Vernon Love,
okay.
father of Wolverton.
That's it. That's who it was. Yes.
He ended up now being taken off the shows.
Yes. Because something else I had heard and not had followed up on, but of course you did because you're Larry Goodman, is that there was a sponsor that was upset, and that there was going to be, as the great Eddie Murphy would say, consequences and repercussions. And apparently
yes.
all of that went down. So.
Right. Right. So nobody, so I've asked two people, Larry Otto, that I know about this. I've asked Trevor about this. Nobody says, has said anything, has responded back. So I guess they
okay.
just, you know, I guess everybody's kind of wants kind of let this go by and let's move on. But
yeah,
I don't see Trevor. Now, I haven't looked if he's on the poster for this Saturday. Vernon Love is definitely not on that poster for this Saturday.
I would suspect that even if he was allowed back on the show, which I assume they would allow him, anything I had heard about Trevor Aeon a couple of weeks ago was he wouldn't go back regardless. Now, lots
mm-hmm.
of people say lots of stuff like that. And so who knows, but that was the last I had heard a couple of weeks ago. So interesting. Always the drama going on. Love it. I love it.
Well, let's move on to some more positive things with our guests. What do you say?
Absolutely. I'm excited about this one.
Me too. Let's bring him on. He is the 2020 Future Showcase winner, and he is known as No Flinch, Nolan Edward. Welcome to the Tipping Point, sir.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. All right.
You're
this
welcome.
Is Steve. I'm gonna ask you the question I'm dying to know. No Flinch.
Oh, okay.
I fucking love it. It's weird. I've never heard of it before, which is very, very unusual in professional wrestling. Who the hell came up with No Flinch, and what possessed you to continue to use it?
Oh, Jesus, that's a story in and of itself. There's so many layers to this. Wow. So I was actually at an action show. I want to say, I don't remember what month, but it was pre-COVID, and I got hit in the back of the head, and I didn't move, and and I kept like there, or you know, like a stutter or a flinch that would come before that. Like, oh, I hear somebody running up behind me, so I'm gonna start to turn around. I just stood still and just got decked in the back of the head. And Sobro Mo's, who now is just Mo's because he's not with Sobro's anymore. He on a podcast that he interviewed me on 2 weeks after, he gave me the nickname No Flinch, and I didn't run with it at all. I didn't tell anybody about it, but without me saying anything, a ring announcer at Paradigm Pro Wrestling in Indiana during my ring intro called me No Flinch. So I'm assuming he had heard the podcast.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, the show I was on the weekend after that. And, they said the same thing. They said No Flinch, Nolan Edward. And I wasn't telling them to say it. It just happened.
Yeah. It's,
and then
it's,
ever
it's,
since
it's,
then, it's just,
it's,
yeah.
It's so organic. It's so organic that I knew it would be a great story. Whoever that ring announcer was one of the few that I think actually deserve an award. Because I'm biased against ring announcers. I think that's an awesome, awesome story. Has having the name No Flinch influenced you now in any way, shape, or form? As far as, like,
yeah.
Oh, how so? That's awesome. How so?
I mean, I haven't really changed anything with how I wrestle. If anything, it's just more obvious to people given the nickname now. So, you know, the typical hand, the habit of, oh, I'm about to get a chair swung at my head, might as well not put my hand up. That's never changed, but I kind of look at it as people were telling me when I got that nickname, people were coming up to me saying, oh, this is what No Flinch means. And I would always just look at them and say, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Thinking like, who are you to say what it means? in the nicest ways possible, but so many people would come up to me every weekend saying, oh, so this is what No Flinch is, and this is what it is, telling me what they think it is. And I kind of came to a conclusion that to me, No Flinch means not knowing when I've had enough.
Mm.
Kind of. I take it as there's no – I what's a good, I think that's the best way I could explain it is how I,
yeah,
I
think
see
so.
It.
I think how you're conveying it is if a wrestling match or anything else is like this, life is this big game of chicken. You're never going to be the guy who pulls to the side. Right?
I know. I saw somebody tweet. I heard you swear earlier. Are we allowed to swear?
Yes.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. I would, they would, I couldn't have done this for years if we couldn't swear.
Oh, fuck yeah. Thank you so much. It's just who I am. It's my nature.
No flinch, buddy.
So somebody,
no flinch.
Yeah. I'm not a – something that comes with that, too, is I always tell people, you might run a PG show, but I'm not a PG wrestler. So, but anyways, I think the best explanation I've ever gotten on it is recently doing ICW No Holds Barred shows, a fan took a liking to me, tweeted during a match announcement that I have for their Tampa, Florida shows coming up. He said, oh, Nolan Edwards, you know he's going to get his ass beat, but you know he's also not a bitch. And I think that was probably one of the best tweets to explain how I wrestle. So I was like, that guy gets it. Like, yes, I am going to get my ass beat, but I'm also not going to back down. And I love that explanation of it.
So, by the way, we just lost Steve, so hopefully he'll be back in just a second. Am I right? You've only been wrestling 2.5 years or so. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so I'll be wrestling for 3 years, June 9th of 2021.
To what do you attribute your rapid advancement as a pro wrestler?
What do I attribute?
To what do you attribute?
Yeah, what do you attribute? How'd you get so damn good? Because if Larry likes you, that's high praise. Because Larry, I mean, Larry's seen it all, and Larry's, like, desperate to get you on the show. So how'd you get so damn good in 3 years, man? Especially with not being able to, you know, with COVID, I'm sure the booking slowed down and all of that.
No, I've gotten more. Well, initially when COVID hit and nobody was wrestling, nobody was, right? Like, there was two or 3 months where nobody was. But when shows started opening back up, I've been the busiest I've ever been.
Oh, wow.
Maybe not the busiest I've ever been, but as far as quality shows go, the busiest, like the most hectic travel schedule I've ever had, that's for sure. But I don't know. I've always been a guy where I started in kind of like, I refer to as territory. So where I started in like a Canadian territory and then Detroit. Everybody kind of told you like, this isn't it and you need to get out. And when I was starting, because I've gone to six different, maybe five. I'd have to recount, but five different wrestling schools.
Oh wow!
Because I originally trained in Flint, Michigan, and the trainers there were so dead set on learn what you can here and then go somewhere else and then travel, and nobody did from that area. If I'm being completely honest, out of the people that I trained with in Flint, I'm the only one that traveled for wrestling. And that's 2.5 years ago. And I was training there for 2 months before I had my first match. I was told I'd have my first match after 6 months, depending on where I was. And then at 2 months, they had somebody leave the venue because they realized there was only 12 fans that showed up. And they said, this isn't worth it. They said, this isn't worth it. And they randomly grabbed me by my shirt, pulled me next to my trainer at the time. And they said, hey, you're going to have a match. You're opening the show. Good luck. And I thought, oh, wow. Since then I've trained from Flint to Windsor to Grand Rapids, Michigan, to Dayton, Ohio, to Nashville, Tennessee. I kind of just accredit taking advantage of respecting people enough that when they told me you need to get out and you need to branch out and travel if you want to do this, and I just took it seriously.
Yeah. What you got to do. I mean, that just makes me so – how old are you? I know you said before.
I'm 22 years old.
Holy fucking shit. So so I didn't train till I was 23. So like, oh my God. So
yeah.
22, you've kind of been to a lot of places, probably got to experience things that most guys don't get to experience on multiple levels. So when you got the call to be part of this Scenic City thing, did you already know about it? I mean, obviously you'd wrestled for Action before. So what was your mindset? Okay, so what was your mindset when you got – did they contact you? Did you contact them? I'm curious about that.
No, so I had just moved – shit. This is – I was living in Windsor, Ontario.
Okay.
I got a job that required me to move to Nashville, Tennessee, and I was lucky enough to get in with the right people that really get out. Like Righteous Jesse and Hardway Heater and Brad Eisen, and I would get in cars with them pretty often when I first moved. It was really odd because I've always
Was Brad Eisen one of the guys that you – wow. Sorry, like I –
yeah,
you know.
That's family to me.
Heard great things from people that I care about. So that's awesome.
it was weird though, you know, like I've only ever lived in the UP of Michigan or Michigan or then Windsor. And so now all of a sudden I'm in a completely new area. And within the first week of me living there, I'm asking strangers, hey, can I get in your car and go to this show? That was the case. I ended up riding to a New South show in Alabama with some of them. And I showed up and I think Donnie Janella looked at me and he was like, I had just wrestled at IWA Mid-South the week before this. And I think Donnie was there. And I walked in and he saw me and he said, oh, and like snapped at me and pointed at me. And he said, you're good. Do you want to be in this 6-man tag match? And so I ended up getting put in this random 6-man tag match. And then like 5 minutes before we went out, Donnie kind of looked at me and he said, hey, can you like do everything that way you can get brought back? And I said, oh yeah. So within 5 minutes I had to get a completely different mindset, but it just so happened that Action Matt was there watching the show. And immediately after he gave everybody in the locker room feedback about the match. And, he took me outside and we talked outside for a little bit. And that's when he asked me like, he's like, where are you from? I was like, oh, I live in Nashville right now. I'm from Windsor. I had just quit my job at Impact Wrestling. And, he was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And then he kind of asked me, he's like, well, we do this tournament. What are you doing in August? And I was like, I'm there. I had no clue what it was.
Right.
But that's not the world's fault. That's my fault. I always like to ask that question. When anybody doesn't know something about someone or something, like, is that your fault or the world's fault? And it was my fault that I didn't know what it was. But I was definitely so new to the area. But that's how I got asked, was there.
Nice.
I just said, yeah, I'm free.
So the future showcase booking preceded your match with Angela Slane. And your obviously preceded the one with Drake, but it preceded the one with Angela Slane.
Yes.
Speaking of mindset, can you talk about your mindset going in and with the ring with a woman and the two of you beating the hell out of each other?
I've caught a lot of shit for that's kind of a funny story. I actually got fired. Air quotes, because you don't get fired in independent wrestling, but you just stop getting used, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I actually got fired from Mid-South after wrestling there for like 5 weeks because I did an intergender, and I put air quotes up again because I just consider it wrestling. But I wrestled Billy Starks, and they didn't like that because it was 40 miles away from Mid-South. And he said, hey, if I got big, it was kind of like a conversation of, I've got big plans for you, and if you want to go do that, then we won't use you anymore. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do it. And,
I love you. I love you.
I did it, and then...
the latest thing I've read is Mid-South pissing and moaning because they had three shows within like a week or two, and like they drew less than 100 combined for all three. So it's one of these where it's like, they don't get to beg and be exclusive. You know what I mean? So like.
Fair enough.
I like the cut of your jib, young man. Fuck them.
No, but
like,
that's my mindset. Is whenever somebody does something, I'm just like, nah, fuck them. People joke about it. People joke about it with me that whenever they know I don't like something, sometimes if we're in a group of people that know me really well, and somebody's shooting about what somebody said about them. It's just kind of like you hear head turn, and they all look at me, and they're just dead silent waiting for me to tell this person, and then I always go, like, oh, fuck them. but I got a lot of shit that day for wrestling Billy Starks because I don't approach an intergender match the way that you should as a professional wrestler. And I was like, oh, that's bullshit because it's just a wrestling match. But that's kind of the same thing that happened with the Angelus match. They were like, well, that was too violent. That was too this, that was too that. I was like, that's just how I wrestle. I'm not here to wrestle just like you. I'm built differently. Like, I'm not here to try to be a carbon copy of someone else. I'm going to wrestle the way I want to, and I'm going to fight the way I want to. And it just so happens that me and Angelus both like to hit people in the face really hard. So that was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there was anything going on that she wasn't down for doing. I mean,
no.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a joke, yeah. Too. I always get asked sometimes, they're like, what are you not okay with? And I always tell people, I'm like, you could stab me and I'd be fine.
Well, that leads me to the match with J.D. Drake. Another grueling physical match. Your thoughts on that match?
That was like a long time coming kind of thing. I had done film work for Evolve for a good year and a half before I became a pro wrestler and started having matches, and then kind of went away because I just started wrestling. So I wasn't going to try and do Evolve tryouts and get on an Evolve show like people were at the time. But then I felt like enough time had passed and, I showed up to an Evolve show, and I was like, man, they're still doing the tryouts. And I ended up filming that day. So then I think 3 or 4 months later when they ran another show again where they were doing a tryout, I messaged J.D. Drake and I said, hey, because we've talked before, and because he's just a sociable guy and kind of like a locker room leader to the point where I would always just talk to him. I kind of asked him for advice about doing one of the tryouts in front of Sapolsky and everything. And he just said, just be you. At the time, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know who I was. Not even like I was trying to be what other people wanted me to be as a pro wrestler, because I just got out of that school in Windsor where they're telling you, this is what you got to do. And if you're not good at it, we won't use you for TV. And, so I was trying to be that carbon copy that they needed. And so when JD said, just be you, I was like, oh, wow. So I did the tryout, and I didn't end up getting picked. And so I went on my way, and then that's kind of when I said, from that point on, I said, oh, man. Like, you just gotta do what makes you happy. Try not to wear this just because that's what wrestlers are wearing, or do this move because that's what's cool. That's kind of when I reevaluated it. So the fact that I got to wrestle JD Drake finally after getting such quality advice from him and him being there to like do that for me. God, that was insane. That was probably the biggest thing to happen to me at that point.
Yeah. Awesome.
I didn't approach it any differently though. Like that's just how I'm very much the person where I am going to egg you on because I want you to keep hitting me. As dumb as that sounds, but if you watch any of my matches, I'm typically the smaller person. And I'm always trying to find something to just piss the person off so they can keep hitting me why does he keep wanting to get hit? That JD Drake match is probably like the best example of that.
So what do you got coming up soon? Like what's next on the agenda? Where are you going to be? It sounds like you're traveling and now things have kind of opened up in almost every state that you would probably wrestle in. So how busy are you going to be now and where are you going to be?
So for the remainder of 2020, I don't know. I feel like some people are still giving up on 2020, but they forget that there's months left. I'm going to be showing up a lot at ICW, No Holds Barred in New Jersey, as well as traveling to Florida with them, doing the Pit Fighter shows and the No Hold Barred shows.
Nice.
So, yeah, because I recently did Pit Fighter X2 and then No Holds Barred Volume 7, which was their Deathmatch Horror Story show. I got Please Come Back chance both nights. So then they're doing that. They're bringing me back for Pit Fighter in November, as well as Pit Fighter in November the following week in Tampa, as well as the No Holds Barred show the day after. And then I'm popping up at Alex Colon's Unsanctioned. It's kind of like a joke of a show name, but it's perfect. It's his third annual Quinceañera Bash or something. But Alex Colon is doing a birthday show in Ohio, and I'll be on that.
That's pretty great.
There's a shirt for it that I'm definitely getting for that reason.
Nice.
I'm just going to keep popping up at ICW and Unsanctioned, as well as, I believe there is an Unsanctioned and Paradigm show, joint show, in December as well.
Gotcha. Fuck a duck. I guess I'm going to come to the Tampa one. I'm in Orlando, but I'm... I don't go to shows. I think you just talked me into going. And that's why I sound so regretful, because I don't go to fucking wrestling shows anymore. But I think you talked me in. I think I'm going to go. Yeah, if it's in Tampa, I don't have an excuse to not. It's only a little over an hour drive for me. So I'm going to definitely check that out.
We're traveling from New Jersey to Tampa for two shows back-to-back, 2 days in a row. So I don't see why you shouldn't.
Nice. Do you know where it is in Tampa? Do you know where the location is? I mean, I can find out easily.
There's one show in Newport Richey, which I've wrestled there several times before. And then I believe the Saturday show is in Tampa. But there is an address on any ICW page that you can find.
Absolutely. Larry, any last questions for Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, in your fledgling career, you've wrestled in a lot of different environments, a lot of different places. Got any favorites or unfavorites of the different places you've ventured into?
Unfavorites, that's nice.
What do you mean environment? What do you mean by environment?
Different buildings, different promotions, different setups.
Oh, yeah. There's this hall in Toronto that I've wrestled at before that was very cool. I only wrestled there a couple times though before I left. I really liked that. The Basement East for Southern Underground Pro is
yeah,
a very sentimental building to a lot of people. So even though I was new to it and only wrestled there three times before everything that happened and then it getting rebuilt, it quickly becomes a very important building to you. Even if you just wrestled there once before, as long as you take it seriously, it does. Which I'm always somebody to take it seriously. I'd say the building in Toronto, the Basement East, and then the Bloodshed in New Jersey for ICW is insane. Those would be my top three.
I'm curious because I've not been live, and I enjoyed it on the video of the future showcase that TWE building in Chattanooga seemed to have
They've got screens on the wall. It's like the ring doesn't move. It's dedicated to TWE. I think that's really cool.
Nice.
It echoes. It echoes a lot. I know that much.
Last thing, are you coming back to action anytime soon?
I'll be coming back to action in the new year. The old saying of you got to go away for a little bit, I guess. there was some stuff that came up that I couldn't miss out on that were running the same days as Action Days, and they were very – I was lucky enough that they understand and wanted me to take opportunities that were given to me. So in 2021, I will be back at Action. But as far as 2020 goes, I just kind of want to sit back and see what the hell Angelus Lane is doing so I can pinpoint the right time to come back. And if she's been on a wreck and a tear, then I need to put it to a stop again because I need to wrestle Angelus Lane one more time. I need that. So I'll be paying attention to Angelus. I'll be paying attention to AC Mack. But, I mean, I've main evented a action show now, so I feel like I can say that I can look out for AC Mack in the Action Championship. I feel like that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, this was a pleasure, man, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Tampa. I'll be the schmuck in the green jacket. That some wrestling mark will be asking too many questions to, and I'll be trying to ignore. So, looking forward to meeting you. Thanks for talking with us and taking the time, man. We appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Oh, Larry, you could probably tell I was a little bit smitten there.
22 years old.
Yeah.
Man. A little maturity on that guy, I'd say, for 22.
Yeah, and, you know, we've been saying it for the last couple years, I guess, like when we interviewed different guys who went on to bigger, better things, right? Like Austin Theory and whatnot. And I don't know. There's, you know, people want to say so many negative things about sort of young wrestlers, right? They're not about the hard scrabble lifestyle. They'd rather go play video games than go get drunk and, you know, blah, blah. At the same time, there's a level of... I mean, there really are guys who are standing on the shoulders of giants as far as experience goes. I think there's people who have figured out that there's kind of a balance to this thing, right? If you're too deferent, you get overlooked. And if you're too much of an asshole, people don't want to work with you. But if you tread the line where you're looking out for yourself, looking out for the guys, that's going to get rewarded now in a very direct and immediate fashion. And I think Noah's sort of a reflection of that, where he's standing up for himself in the right ways, but obviously is also a guy that does business and is willing to travel and willing to put himself out there. So there's really nothing to complain about unless you're just some guy who has a hard and fast rule and you want to whine. That's what it seems like to me. So I see that as a positive for sure. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you get a chance to see him live, do it. You will not regret it.
Larry, that was a shoot, brother. I am not inclined to go to wrestling shows. We know that.
I'm well aware.
For me to go to a promotion that I never heard of, and Tampa is a haul for me. Like, I know he's saying, oh, I'm driving for New Jersey. Yeah, you're on the fucker, right? Like, I have a million other things I could be doing. But I'm interested in seeing him, and I'm interested in seeing that show. So, good job. And you know what? And I give Action a lot of shit on a regular basis, but I cannot deny that they are very encouraging to wrestlers to sort of improve their careers. And that is a great mentality to have. And I think Nolan is one of the many beneficiaries of that mentality.
You know, and I'll mention another one, a guy that anybody who's been reading what I've been writing lately knows that I'm very high on Alex Kane. He got into that future showcase, and, you know, now he's getting booked other places because he did futures,
yeah,
and because he got noticed,
yeah,
there. So they do help. Action does help get other bookings. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. That's the name of the game.
Hey, let's bring on our other guest.
This is the juicy dessert. I'm looking,
yes,
forward to this.
And he was nice enough to do it on short notice, and we're really happy to have him. He is the driving force behind the Superstars Fan Fest in Rome. He's also now the commissioner at KLT Wrestling in Rome. We're glad to have him on the Tipping Point tonight. Welcome, Sean Ambrose.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on, Sean? How are you?
Man, I'm just living the dream, and don't forget, sometimes dreams are also nightmares. So,
all right. Sean, I'm going to do something pretty rare for me, which is I'm going to let you just take the floor. Now, I've heard about, you know, oh, this incident happened here and blah, 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 but nobody will tell me what the fuck is going on because they want me to be surprised by your side of the story. So can you please just lay out, if you know what I'm talking about, can you just lay it out and explain it to me as if I am a second grader? Because I really have no idea what the whole thing is about because nobody will tell me. So.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, it's 2020, so news travels fast. Good news travels slow, but bad news travels fast. So, and now that we have social media as a driving force behind that, obviously it only takes a couple of people to – really get a story out there, and unfortunately, that's kind of what happened with an incident that happened at KLT on Saturday night. So I'm happy to have the opportunity to set the record straight and to, you know, acknowledge some things that's been reported that are true, and some things were way out there. But here's what happened. And just to give you a little background on KLT, up until, I don't know, maybe a month ago, it was the only wrestling promotion in Rome, Georgia. And Rome's got a very big, long history of professional wrestling, indie wrestling. Some of the best that's ever wrestled has passed through Rome, Georgia at one point or another. And then we kind of went through several years where there was nothing. And that's when I started promoting about 10 years or so ago, bringing in, started with TNA Impact, brought them in a couple of times, and then started doing the Fan Fest, and haven't really done anything else besides the Fan Fest until I got a phone call from Todd Zane. And he asked me, you know, hey, would you be interested in coming in and being the commissioner of KLT? And I was like, well, why not? I mean, I've got 30 minutes left that I don't sleep, so let's do that. And so I agreed to do that. And this actually, I've done that for two shows now. I mean, if you want to go back and look at old wrestling, I mean, that's what this is. This is not a wrestling show. This is a wrestling show. I mean, this is back old days. 80s version of what you would come to see a wrestling show. So we've got wrestling fans and we've got wrestlers in a wrestling building with no air conditioning. I mean, it's old school as you can get. And it's awesome. It's great. Really brings me back to my childhood. But anyway, T was formed by Ricky Wiggins and he named it after his wife, who has died. I'm not exactly sure how she died, but she died. She was a big wrestling fan, and he created KLT in her honor. And it's been going on for, I guess, about 3 or 4 years now. And it's gone through several different bookers. Right now the booking is being done by Todd Stansel and you know, it's just old wrestling storytelling is what it is. So Saturday night, we have a bad guy faction at KLT called the Peachtree Mafia. And the Peachtree Mafia is made up of several old school bad guys, including someone that you guys are probably familiar with from the 80s, a guy by the name of Mr. Atlanta. And I'm not going to... Yeah, I believe in kayfabe, so I'm not going to throw real names out there. We'll just call it, you know, what it is. So Mr. Atlanta is one of the members of the Peachtree Mafia. That night, the story was the Peachtree Mafia is trying to take over KLT, and they want Ricky Wiggins, who is the owner, to sign ownership over to KLT. I mean, to the Peachtree Mafia. And he declines. The Mafia attacks. All right. So they attack Ricky. And that brings one of our guys out from the back to help out. Well, he gets in the ring, and Mr. Atlanta takes a screwdriver and starts hitting him over the head with the screwdriver. And then he, you know, he bleeds. And then the, you know, here comes the cavalry, and it clears the ring. So Mr. Atlanta is out of the ring. He's walking past a fan. He takes the screwdriver and throws it into her lap and says, I guess you don't think this is fake anymore. Take a look at that. And he throws the screwdriver at her. Well, she loses her mind and flips out. So she's sitting on the front row. She had been heckling the wrestlers all night. So she was very involved, very engaged in the matches. It's the perfect fan that you want at any wrestling show. You want somebody to be engaged, giving the bad guys hell and cheering on the good guys, you know. And she was doing all of that. So, and maybe that's why he chose her. I don't know. But he tosses the screwdriver into her lap, and she screams. And everybody goes to the back. You know, we're trying to finish up the show, and people say, Mr. Atlanta hit this girl. Mr. Atlanta hit this girl. And I'm in the ring as the commissioner trying to set up the next show. I'm not fully aware of what's going on. And I get to the back, and Mr. Atlanta says, what? Somebody says I hit them out there. I said, well, who was it? And I found out who it was. It's someone who has been to every fan fest I've ever done. They are a local wrestling fan family. The mother comes into the back and is talking with us, letting us know, hey, she, you know, screamed when you threw the screwdriver into her lap. She said, I believe it hit her in the face. And Mr. Atlanta was like, now at this point he's not in character anymore. All right. He's taking his mask off. He's in the back. We're all discussing this, trying to get to the bottom of it. He said, I promise I would never throw anything at anybody's face. I threw it in her lap, and that's what I did. And she said, well, it hit her face. And he said, well, I certainly didn't mean to do that. If it happened, I'm very sorry. I was back there when all this was going on with the apology and everything. And, the girl comes back to the back. Mr. Atlanta apologizes to the mother, apologizes to the girl. We look at the girl's face. I didn't see any marks on her face where she may have been hit. I'm not saying it didn't happen. It could have grazed her face. But here is the whole thing that probably caused the incident to happen the way that it did. The girl that he threw I'm not going to say threw it. He didn't like baseball throw it. He tossed it into her lap. Is special needs. She is also 90% deaf. So, and I had talked to Larry about this off air, kind of similar situation. I've dealt with special needs kids before. I know Larry has, and with these folks, they amplify every emotion. So if they love you, and believe me, I know this to be a fact, because every time I go to KLT, these people love me. As soon as I come out of the curtain, they are on me, hugging me like little kids. It's great. You know, I love being a positive in somebody's life like that.
Yeah.
And the girl, she's special needs. So when this great big 6'3", 300-pound man tosses a screwdriver into her lap and says, hey, it's not fake, look at that, she freaks out, understandably so, because of her condition. And of course that's going to draw a crowd, and the crowd comes over, and you know, and from there it's in the back, Mr. Atlanta punched a special needs fan, and she's laid out on the floor out, and then he won't even go out there and say sorry. I mean, that, it took literally 10 to 15 minutes for that story to go from he tossed a screwdriver into her lap to he punched a girl in the face.
Yeah.
And the true story is, of all the people that he could have chosen to be a part of the show that night, he happens to toss a screwdriver into the lap of a special needs fan who is a super fan. And she overreacted, and it scared her, basically, is what it did.
Sure.
Well, now,
you know, Sean, I appreciated that you were willing to field my call about this. By the time I got the what got to me about this story was that, one, as you said, he had hit a special needs kid at the show, and
right.
Two, he was telling people in the back that was good heat.
That was good. No, now I will say this. The angle that we did at the end of the night, that place was on fire before.
It was good heat, but not the part with the girl. That's not what he was referring to.
No. No, those people were ready to – this was back in the day when, you know, you had to wait in the locker room. You couldn't leave because of fear that someone's going to jump you on your way to your car. That's the kind of heat we had Saturday night from an angle, not from the girl getting hit, because the girl that got the screwdriver in the lap, her mom comes to the back. Mr. Atlanta has his mask off. They're talking to each other. They know each other. I mean, that's how well connected this family is. But she's special needs. And as soon as she said that to Mr. Atlanta, you could see his face just, melt.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, really? You know, of all people, he didn't want – this guy is a massive heel with the mask on. But he's in the limited amount of time that I've had any interaction with him, he's a soft dude. I mean, he truly felt bad that it even happened. And and then once all this happened and the family has gotten onto Facebook and said, you know, they've cleared the air and said, hey, we're fine. Everything's fine. It was, you know, it's not what it was made out to be. We'll be back at the show. I've talked to Mr. Atlanta. We're all fine. You know, they've cleared the air on their end. And but we had two workers that just they went and did emotional Facebook posts, which we've all done it. You know, we all get pissed off about something and get on Facebook and just let the world have it without really thinking or getting more sides to the story or something like that. And that's what happened with this situation.
You know, the other thing that struck me about it was when I heard it was Mr. Atlanta was – Not that there's any excuse for any wrestler at any point to do something like that, but we're talking about a guy that's been wrestling over 35 years.
Yeah.
So it just didn't make any sense that, you know, he would intentionally do anything of that nature.
Right.
Yeah. So, Larry, what else did you want to ask him about?
Oh, well, got to get the latest on the Fan Fest.
Okay, man. Well, you want to talk about a show? I feel like I've been promoting this show for like 12 years now. I mean, this one show, not the, you know, all six that we've done or five, however many it's been, but this will be the fifth, or we should have already done the seventh one by now, I feel like. But anyway, so, man, the Fan Fest, we go all the way back to 2018. We had scheduled a fan fest to happen. The building where we were having it at, there was a problem with the building. They had to scrap the date, and we moved it. And we moved it to April of 2020. And we found a headliner in Sting. We had about 20 wrestlers coming. I mean, out of those 20, probably 12 were WWE Hall of Famers. We had pre-sales. We're doing great. We had meet and greet doing great. Everything's going great, and then COVID-19 comes in. And, man, we held on until our dying breath before we ever canceled, or not canceled, we didn't cancel, before we postponed the April show, and we postponed it because, you know, it was the right thing to do at the time. It was the beginning of the pandemic. We didn't, you know, we were afraid to breathe. You know, we didn't know anything about it. So we moved it to October. We figured, well, shoot, surely by October this will be under control. Life will be back to normal, and we can have our fan fest. Well, were we wrong? So October comes, and actually, no, it was April, May, June, July, September, October. Yeah, it was October. Okay. So the October show, we just moved Sting, moved everybody. We're going to do it in October. Well, we found out, I don't know, probably around July or August, that COVID is not going anywhere. And not only that, but we have crowd restrictions, so we can't have the 1,500 to 2,000 people that we typically have at our show. The venue was going to allow 500 people. And I said, well, we can't do that. And bringing in someone like Sting, our vendor that's bringing Sting in, would never make his money back on a 500-person attendance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so we said, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to do three mini shows. We're going to do one in October, one in January, and we'll do one in April. And our whole thought was the further we get into these three shows, the more we're going to be able to have people in the venue. And October came. We were we didn't really have a headliner. We actually had Animal was going to come, and 2 weeks before the show, he passed away. Not long, actually it wasn't 2 weeks, it was about a month before the show he passed away. And it wasn't long after that, maybe a week later, the county government where the venue is, who actually owns the venue, said that they're not going to allow any indoor events and that our show would be canceled. So I'm like, oh God. So couldn't do it in October. And at that point, I said, well, we're not going to do the mini thing. We're not going to do the January thing either, because I feel like, if they're not going to let us do it in October, we can't do it in January either. So we have moved everything to April 2021 in hope that COVID will be under control and at least enough to where we can have indoor events again. And that's when we're going to try to get the fan fest that's been going on since 2018 to finally happen.
Yeah.
And your hope will be the full scale fan fest, not a 500. Yeah. Okay.
No.
That's great.
We can't bring Sting in with only 500 people showing up. The vendor will lose.
Absolutely.
So we got to be full on, no restrictions, because the fans were upset because they were like, well, we want to come, but we won't have pictures made with somebody with a mask on. You know, unless they're supposed to have a mask on, like a luchador or something, but they don't want to be wearing a mask when they have their picture made with people. And I was like, well, I get that, you know. And then, you know, some of our wrestlers, our legends that were coming, you know, these guys, they don't wrestle anymore because they're old, you know, and they're done. Their career's over. A lot of them have medical issues. So the last thing they want to do is catch something like this. And they have just decided not to do appearances. And Sting's one of them. Sting is not leaving his house until this is over. And several others were like that too. Now, some of them are starting to creep back out because, honestly, this is how they make their money. And they're either going to be homeless or they take a chance and go out and do appearances and, you know, sign autographs and stuff. But
right.
So we had a lot going against us, and we still do, but we're hopeful for April. That we're going to be able to finally get this show in the books,
with Sting as the headliner, hopefully, and
yes.
And all and the vendors and sponsors and the like are still seem like they're on board with everything. Have people been understanding, or has that been a challenge as well?
No, it's actually, I'm surprised. We have only had maybe six people request a refund for tickets.
Okay.
Since we put them on sale in 2018, that's for tickets to the event itself. We've maybe had a handful of people want refunds for meet and greets, but for the most part, everybody's just on board and like, hey, we're with you, and we know you're finally, we know you're eventually going to have this show, And, you know, we're on board. We're with you. Our sponsors, same way. They haven't budged. I've been in contact with them. Vendors, the same thing. You know, we're going to do this. Just please be patient with us. Obviously, this is not our fault. There's nothing we could do. If we could do the show, we'd do the show. And everybody's very understanding.
Great. Well, here's hoping it all pulls together for April.
And yes. Thanks for coming on and telling the tale and clearing the air and all of that good stuff. Is there anything you want to say here at the end? Anything, any shout outs you want to give or anything that you feel like you need to clarify further about anything?
No, I would just like to say, you know, if you're in the, you know, Rome area, we're one of those few promotions that are, you know, we have anywhere from 200 to 300 people at every show. And the ticket prices are $5 a person, so it's very inexpensive.
Yeah.
The person who owns the promotion, we're really trying to push him to do 10 because we're wanting to get some of those upper echelon talent in Georgia, that, because some of those guys won't come for, you know, cheap. And but
right.
We want them to come to our show. I mean, I'm really good friends with the guys who run Southern Honor Wrestling. What they put together is nothing short of amazing, and they're the standard. So we're all chasing them, and we want, you know, we want that level of talent at our show. But come on out. I mean, it's a great wrestling venue, and you'll really have a good time. You'll feel like you're back in the 80s, and you know, just good clean family fun.
Nice, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Best of luck. Of course, all of us would love it if the Fan Fest was up and running. I know a number of people were just disappointed at having to postpone it. But obviously, your heart's in the right place, and you're dealing with all of these different things. You seem like you're dealing with it as best as you can. So if anybody's giving you shit, they should go fuck themselves. I know how hard the position you're in is. And I appreciate you. And hopefully in April, everything's going to be cooking. And we'll talk again before then, because for the best of reasons, which is, so what's going on at this Fan Fest and who's going to be there? It's going to be super exciting. So thank you.
Exactly.
Thanks,
yes,
Sean.
Sir. I appreciate the opportunity. You guys have a great night.
You too.
You well.
Bye-bye.
Cool. Well, good show in the books there, Larry. Where are you going to be this weekend, young man?
I am probably going to be in Piedmont, Alabama. We're a little short-handed this weekend because Rob Rod is out of commission with work. I would love to go to Wrestling United, too, on Saturday because that's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, that show's a comer. Yeah, that show's a comer for sure. So,
but I don't think I'm going to be able to pull off two, so I think I'll probably go to Piedmont.
But you'll be at, you'll be there for Pro South. They're having their big show this Friday. And, of course, Saturday. Did Rob Rod say he was working? Man, you know, Halloween is gay Christmas. You know, Rob Rod is engaging in some kind of shenanigans somewhere. Come on. Seriously. If,
bad
too
time.
Bad Rob Rod can't go, but we have a number of correspondents that have popped up as of late, including Charles Felder. So if you can make it out to the show, please, if you want to send in a report, we would love it. And Wrestling United
would
appreciate it. But we have a tipping point in 2 weeks. And Larry, apparently you are already on it like a murder hornet and have gotten two great guests. Please.
Indeed. We're going to be featuring women's wrestling. In 2 weeks, specifically the two participants in a match that's going to take place at WrestleMerica. Dream Girl Ellie will be one of the guests. The other one will be Samantha Starr, a third generation.
Oh,
what a pedigree! What a pedigree she's got.
Nice.
Related to Sam Houston. I mean, daughter of Sam Houston, baby doll. Her uncle's Jake Roberts. Talk about steeped in wrestling. So we'll have Samantha Starr and Dream Girl Ellie in 2 weeks.
Nice. Well, as always, check out Georgia Wrestling History, gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. And, of course, I put out freaking wrestling videos a mile a minute. And, you know, special shout out to my Patreon fans and anybody, by the way, who wants to slip me 25 extra dollars so I can get Dream Girl Ellie's only girl, only fans, so that way I can ask intelligent questions that only I can ask. Feel free to do so. Other than that, for Larry Goodman, I am Stephen Platinum. Thank you to our guests tonight. A lot of fun here on The Tipping Point.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.